Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Inside Secrets of the Caribbean right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm really pleased to welcome Michael Lees. He is the director and editor of Uncivilized. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Rhea. How are you?
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on board. You're a hard man to track down because you're extremely busy. But let's jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about Michael Lees.
I'm a filmmaker and photographer. I was born in the UK. We moved to Dominica when I was about five. My mom's originally from Barbados in the Caribbean. I went to college to study business, and about halfway through had an epiphany. It's not what I wanted to do. Raised my hand in the middle of class and said I'm quitting business school. And the rest is history.
Good for you. Well, you know, part of the reason you came to my attention was that you did something in 2017 and encountered one of the most horrific acts of Mother Nature ever. Tell us about, and that is where Uncivilized comes in. Tell us about it.
Where would you like to start?
Well, at the beginning would be a good place.
So I had this idea for a film, and I knew, you know, coming out of college, having worked for a bit, that if I wanted to be a filmmaker, I needed to make a film. And this seems, all the kind of pieces fit together perfectly for this. So it was an opportunity. I had to come home anyway. My visa was going to be out in the States. And I had this idea that maybe we were actually better off in some ways right back in the beginning, you know, early mankind, before civilization, all of this stuff. And that our main issue was we always wanted more. And so we got to this state where we currently are, where, you know, we have the environment in a state of collapse with global warming, massive inequality, and then also alienation from ourselves, from each other, and from nature. So I actually originally wanted to do it with a small group of people to sort of go back to that small tribe type style. But all the friends that were supposed to do it with me all fell away. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this project anyway. And the plan was 6 months in the forest, which ended up being 3 because Hurricane Maria came on the 3rd month, which, as you mentioned, was a Category 5 hurricane, which I ended up weathering in a palm leaf and bamboo hut in the rainforest in Dominica.
Describe that experience.
A roller coaster would probably be the best analogy. For people that were out in towns where they didn't have sort of windbreaks around them, it sounded like it was a constant pummeling. Like every story I hear is horrific. People's roofs popped off. People had landslides into their houses, dry ravines that had never seen water filled up and took houses. People had to put, you know, their kids in a bathtub and strap a mattress on top. So in some ways, I would say my experience was not nearly as bad. Not saying it wasn't terrifying, but at least for me, I had the forest actually served as a great windbreak. So for my experience, you would hear all the wind going around. You could hear the river raging. You could feel boulders being tossed down the river. But it was only every so often that a really big gust would come all the way through. And then at that point, you'd see the vines, you know, at a 90-degree angle. And if they were like that for more than a couple seconds, that's when you just start to hear crack, crack, crack of just trees falling. And obviously, I'm there with just a little headlight. It's too late to run anywhere or go anywhere. And those were the really terrifying moments. So you just sort of like scream and put your hand up, not like it was really going to do anything, but it's like, ah. And then it would settle down. You'd be like, okay, I'm okay. Everything's okay. But I basically knew there was a large tree that I had thought I had planned out accordingly, you know, if this thing fell. But as the night went further, I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. And this tree eventually did fall, but the trunk missed me and the branch collapsed my whole shelter down to just a couple feet off of the ground. And I think that probably helped me out because it meant everything was pinned down. I didn't get hurt at all somehow, but everything was pinned down. And that's where I wrote it out. But it definitely went kind of through stages of, is this thing really going to happen? Then to, okay, this is kind of scary, a little exciting. And then to the point of, damn, I think I made a mistake staying out here. And literally got to the point where I thought this could very well be the end. And I sort of had this like flash of just kind of like a life survey. Interestingly enough, it's only the good things that you see in your life survey at that moment. Just like thankful for all the people and places and everything that sort of colored your life up until that point. And then there's a sort of sense of surrender that you're no longer in control. This much bigger thing is going on, and what will be will be.
Wow, I can't even imagine. I mean, when you went out there, you knew it was hurricane season.
I did, and I had friends saying, you know, you shouldn't do this during hurricane season. But to be honest, it had been a long time since we'd got a hurricane, and I had finally got the skills and the money I needed and all the equipment, and I was just like, this feels like the time to do it. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't have the film that I had if I hadn't gone out during hurricane season. So,
well, and that's something that can't be planned.
Exactly.
So how long did you stay after the hurricane, or did you pack up and go home right away?
So when I crawled out under the rubble the next day, it was only then that I realized the magnitude of what had happened, because there was pretty much, it looked like a bomb had gone off. There wasn't a single leaf left on a single tree. Like that night I had been debating, you know what, do I stay and continue this project? By the time I stepped out the next morning, I was like, I just need to go and get home and make sure my parents are okay. And there's nothing left in the forest to eat or do anyway. So what I did do was I had to walk through the forest. I made it to this river, but the rivers were still raging all the next day from the amount of water. So I walked up and down. I couldn't find anywhere to cross. I had to sleep outside on a log in the rain that night. That was one of the longest nights. And then the next day I made it over to Three Rivers Eco Lodge, which was in that same valley. And I actually lived very well for that week because they have solar power, you know, clean water, farm produce, all that kind of stuff. So it was surreal actually how well we were able to live then. And then it was about, there's no telecommunications or anything. Everything was knocked out. So it was about a week until I heard that the roads were clear and that it would make sense to try and trek home. Because, you know, people always panic and they always say best thing is to stay put until you know it's safe. That's what I did. And then luckily I managed to get, I had to walk for about 2 or 3 hours with my big heavy backpack with all my gear. And then luckily I ended up catching rides all the way across the island back home to my parents.
So how long did it take you to get home in total?
So in total, well, I guess there was the week after the hurricane and then an extra day traveling. Yeah. So it was definitely, you know, a lot of people thought I was dead.
I can imagine.
I've never had people be happier to see me than after that.
So is that your advice? Just sort of disappear for a week in the middle of
absolutely.
A storm and people will really appreciate
absolutely.
You afterwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Highly recommend it.
So when you first set out on this journey, you had some ideals that you were intending on proving to yourself and to the world and filming. Yeah. When you left the forest after Hurricane Maria, had you solidified those ideals within yourself or in your mind, or what was your conclusion?
Yeah, so a lot was definitely solidified. I think it also showed me the other side as well. So what was interesting is after leaving the forest, I wasn't like returning to regular society. It was just almost a different iteration of what I was doing, because there was still No electricity, no running water, no internet, no supermarkets, no banks. And we were able to survive fairly well because we still have lots of rivers where we could bathe, clean springs to get water from. And a lot of the root vegetables. Dominique is a big farming society. So we still had a lot of provisions and root vegetables and stuff. So in many ways, it did solidify that keeping this connection to nature is extremely valuable. And it also showed that the sort of the crux of life, of the things that make it really important, are not necessarily the material things, but they are within us and connection to each other and connection to the land. And after Maria, we saw all of those things. On the flip side, there was looting that happened in the couple of days after the storm. And you could argue that in a completely natural society, that might not have happened, and that that's a reaction to the sort of set up society we had. But still, it did show that at this point, without government and police, that human nature has the possibility to show its best side and its worst side. And we were also able to benefit greatly from international aid. And that's not something that could have happened 10 or 20,000 years ago. That's a product of having an interconnected world. And then lastly, I think I still really do think the desire issue is something that I think is at the heart. Desire, I think desire is something that is tackled a lot of times by spiritual and religious traditions, or desire, craving, thirst, always wanting more and not being satisfied. And I was able to come to a point where I was able to reach moments of perfect satisfaction in the forest. And I think a lot of people were able to do that after Maria as well, even though people's homes had been destroyed, even though there were people that had lost everything. You would still pe hear people say, you know, the most important thing is that we're alive. Or once we have water, we have life. These things are material things. And I think having that sort of mindset is maybe one of the most important things to have if you want to live a happy and fulfilled life.
With the ability that you have after having seen Hurricane Maria, when the pandemic hit, how did it affect the people, and were they the same? Did you see the same results as you did after Hurricane Maria?
I think Hurricane Maria was a great preparation for us for COVID because it's a different beast, and everyone has admitted it's a different beast, but there are so many similarities where, again, you know, we closed our borders pretty early and had done strict quarantine, so we never had high levels of COVID, even to this day. I mean, we still sanitize and wear our masks and everything, but business as usual has been able to go on. For in many ways, except of course for the tourism industry, which we rely heavily on, and then the entertainment industry, for a large section of time has also been clamped down. But again, it was this chance to look inward and to again realize that as long as you have the ability to raise or grow your own food, then at the end, and you have your family and your community. At the end of the day, you will survive. And I think not just Maria, but the Caribbean, based on its history and its location in terms of hurricanes and everything else, I think there is an inbuilt resilience in this, in Dominica and in the region, where we're used to weathering things.
Well, tell me what's next for Michael Lees.
What's next? I am working on a feature script that deals with a couple of different issues like what we're talking about. Who knows when that's going to be done or whatever else, but that's my sort of like big project. I have been doing some smaller projects for NGOs like UNICEF and the FAO, a lot of stuff to do with climate change, to do with sustainable agriculture, that kind of stuff. We've also got some short fiction stuff I'm working on. And then, as I said, I'm also a photographer. So we recently hosted a virtual exhibition, but not just one in a virtual space. We actually filmed it with a 360 camera in the Anglican church, which had its roof completely blown off. And we basically filmed with this camera and filmed the artists and everything so that people could go online. You can drag around, look in any direction, click to hear from the artists, find out information on the art. And then from there, a couple of us ended up in the OECS, which is Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, virtual photography exhibition. So the first one was with the Waitakubuli Artists Association. That's Dominica's arts group, which I'm a member of. So there's lots of different things. There's photography stuff coming up. We're going to hopefully be doing some workshops throughout the year for the public. And I'm just going to keep on making, basically.
Well, you'll provide us with all the links so yes, that we can share definitely. That with our audience.
For sure.
Do you think that you'll try and redo the whole 6-month project with a bunch of people next time around?
You know, I don't necessarily think so, but it has piqued my interest more in sustainable agriculture. And my family, we have a plot of land where currently I am planting avocados and papaya, and I'm gonna maybe even think about doing some cocoa. And eventually I would sort of like to move out there and have sort of live a balance between a rural farm type life and then still have access to be able to do the work that I want to do.
Sounds absolutely amazing. Well, you know what? You have kindly offered a promo code for the film Uncivilized for those people that would like to watch it. We will provide the link and the promo code as well as any other links you'd like to share with us for your other work. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Once again, you've been watching Inside Secrets of the Caribbean. This has been Michael Leaves, the director and editor of Uncivilized. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again next week for another episode.